Listening Dog Media.
At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. And the IKEA Plus 365 9-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at IKEA-USA.com today.
Elevate every morning with Tommy John's Second Skin underwear. The luxurious support of Second Skin guarantees everything will go smoothly. With over 20 million pairs sold and thousands of five-star reviews, guys love Tommy John. Plus, your most valuable assets are covered with Tommy John's best pair you'll ever wear or its free guarantee. Get 20% off your first order at TommyJohn.com/Spotify. Save 20% at TommyJohn.com/Spotify. See site for details.
The Hot Mess Mum. The mum most likely to send her kids to school in regular clothes on non-school uniform day. The mum who forgets to sign the permission slip for school trips. The mum who has probably put leftovers in her kids' lunchbox on more than one occasion. But most importantly, the Hot Mess Mum is actually rocking it and is doing a far better job than even she thinks. Please welcome our Hot Mess Mums, telling it as it is, Kelly and Cherie.
It is the Hot Mess Mums Club Podcast Season 2. Today's guest is the very lovely Ruby from Wild and Fawnty Digital, who's come to talk to us a little bit about social media. Because you do all sorts, don't you? You work with girls in schools and you work with people that want to know how to use it better.
I do, yeah. I work with a whole range of things. I was trying to think of what it is that I actually kind of do. It's not one thing. It's the first thing people ask you, what is it you do exactly? So I'm a social media coach first and foremost. So that involves me working with small business owners and helping to empower them with skills, knowledge, but also, and that's really important, the confidence to kind of like use social media in order to grow their own companies. And I say confidence because that's often the missing piece. Mm. Everyone has that ability to kind of like learn new skills. And sort of we talked just a moment ago about scheduling and things like that, getting organized. But it's the confidence element. So a lot of what I do in my coaching is to help build that for them. Mm. The other thing that I do is I speak publicly. Or I try to anyway. So I'll go into secondary schools predominantly, aiming to talk to young women about two things, really. Looking to use tech for more positive, ways to lift and raise each other, rather than looking at it just from that superficial point of view, which social media is often tarred with. If you go below the surface, there are so many wonderful sub-brands, communities that are there to help support new startups, young entrepreneurs. And that's what I want them to use social for and understand that it exists out there. And then the second thing is basically trying to control social media rather than letting it control you.
Yeah, I think that's a big one, isn't it? Because I think it does.
Everyone's guilty of it.
Everybody.
Yeah.
And it's finding that fine line, that balance between it being something absolutely wonderful and that we can't live without, but also you don't want it taken over your life, which, like we said, I'm guilty of it, you know, have been at times. And it's teaching our children that it's not going to go away. It's only going to grow social media, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's trying to teach the younger generation. And it's coming from a generation that, you know, it's all quite new to me as well.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. I mean, the same here, really. I'm frightened for my daughter, actually, and how... you know, I've got friends, one of my really good friends, her daughter's now at uni. And about 2 years ago, she said, Kel, can you just like start snooping on her on Instagram for me and tell me what's going on? Because she said, if I go on there, she'll block me. And her daughter looks like a model, you know.
Yeah.
So there I am looking at these pictures. Well, she's got hardly anything on. Yeah. She's got things like pop in the bottle, you know, these caption lines, which I don't even understand. I'm like, look at this, Chris. And this little girl used to sit on my knee when she was a baby. So I'm feeling ancient and I'm thinking, what am I going to tell her mother? And I'm not going to say her name because I'll get her in so much trouble. But I was like, I can't do this, you know. And it was awful because she was worried. She was like, what does she get up to? What's she on there? She's got thousands of followers as well.
But that's what I don't get. I find like my kids have So my eldest, obviously 18, 16, and the 11-year-old, she's just got a phone because she's going to high school, which she's not been allowed a phone. She's got had iPads and stuff, but she's been on Instagram, but she's private. And she has to ask me, I check her phone because she gets lots of follower requests and stuff. But I don't, you know, she's not allowed to just click onto them. But a similar thing happened with my brother's daughter, who's the same age as my 16-year-old. And some of the pictures, I was just like shocked. And I think, do I tell, you know, do I tell my brother? Because I don't think he has a clue.
Yeah.
So I told my mum instead and we all got blocked. We've like grassed her up, but it's the same thing. But I worry, and she's open on Instagram. So all the these men are following her, and I'm like, randoms. You don't know who they are. Yeah, you know, it could be a young, pretty girl, but who do we? You know, that could be really an old pervert. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
I know that's a scary thing. I mean, I think it's great that you talk about you're teaching them to use it for a greater good. So it's underneath the superficial of how we look or what outfit we've got on. And
yeah, it's
and
more than that, because there is that community that exists there to lift and raise others, rather than seeing social as a place where you end up competing and dragging others down in order to progress or get ahead in life. And that's not, I feel, that's not the way that it should be. And if it is the case that you're looking to go into work, either for somebody else or by yourself, it's about the mindset that you have, and it's about that empowerment, either in within, you know, that teamship setting, or whether it's by yourself and you're looking to gather a community around you in order to help develop a successful brand. But it's interesting you talk about the dichotomy, I suppose, that exists between parents wanting to give their children the freedom, but at the same time thinking, oh my days, who on earth, what on earth is going on? And so that's why where I want to be able to try and develop the brand is talking to parents to be able to get them to understand the mechanics that exist within tech and within particularly social media settings, so that they better understand why it is that their kids are constantly attached to their phones and why it is they're doing what they're doing. So potentially being a little bit more risque because of the structure and the setting of a social media platform. But then not only knowing why that happens, how it is that they can actually open and start that conversation whereby they can have that it's that open dialogue, really, to say, right, okay, so what is it that you want to be able to, you know, get out of life? Why, you know, where is it that you think that doing X, Y, Z on social is going to help you? How can I better help you to navigate that pathway? It's a difficult terrain, but it can be done if there's understanding and dialogue.
Do you think schools do enough, though? Because I think, you know, it seems very much it's just high school. I know we get emails sent home. We get emails, you know, saying that someone's coming in to do a talk. Mm. But that'll only be every so often. Mm. You know, I don't think it's spoken about enough in the classroom. And I also think the younger generation at primary school, I believe, you know, because social media is such a massive thing in our lives, I think it should be taught the dangers in, you know, the correct way, not to frighten children.
Yeah.
But, you know, kids as young as four have got iPads and can get onto the internet. I just think it should be, do you think enough has been done at schools?
That's a really difficult one, because at the minute I'm working with some of the schools in and around the Northwest, and although there's the appetite there for me to be able to come in, there's not always the opportunity or the budgets for them to be able to constantly have somebody like me coming in and speaking with those children. So it's a real sort of like dilemma from their point of view, and also mine as a small business owner as well at the same time.
Yeah.
But no, you're right. And I think there's great scope for there to be this wider dialogue happening, not only just with schools, but with in conjunction with councils, in conjunction with, you know, enterprise initiatives that happen across many boroughs as well. So yeah, it's an interesting space. Bizarrely enough, or kind of serendipity, I'm in to a primary school on Friday. They've got an aspirations week happening. I'm talking about, you know, the world of social, and what that means to me, what it means to, you know, my 9-year-old, and how it is that, you know, that world potentially should be navigated, or the not the, well, more of an awareness of the both the positive and the dangers that could well exist.
Yeah, because I think to get the positive message out there, I mean, my, I don't know what Ava Lilly's like, because well, she knows all about Instagram, obviously.
Well, she doesn't really, she moans at me sometimes. I try and do stuff for my page and my blog when she's not around. It's not always possible, but when she's in bed, if I post, or early in the morning before she gets up. She has got an iPad, which she's only allowed at home, and she is into all the Disney videos, and you know the girls on there that sing the song, and she likes Shawn Mendes, so you'll find her watching some of his videos over and over again and dancing to them and singing all the wrong words. But I will freak out sometimes. I always have to keep watching what she's looking at without making too much of a fuss, and it's time locked, so she can't be on it past a certain time, and she can't be on it when we're not in the room, so we make a deal with that one.
This conversation we've had together.
Both of us have sort of talked to her about that. And if she asks for it and she's been on it already, we'll say, you've been on it for too long, we're going outside or we're going for a walk.
Good.
I'm very conscious
those boundaries are good.
I mean, I'm not perfect. I'm not going to make out I am, but I do not. I hate the whole idea of this couch potato generation. So my next door neighbours are such good parents. They're wonderful. They've got three kids and they're amazing. Their son is a teenager and they constantly have battles with him over the Xbox. And they make him get outside and you know, and it's hard.
I take it off my son. I just literally,
I think they do.
He's 18 and I'm going up there grabbing out his Xbox because I just said, that's it. You know, I don't mind you playing on it, but while you're under our roof, you know, there's rules you've got to abide to. And it's good for you to not be on it all the time. Yeah, absolutely. Do you know what I mean?
Interestingly enough, in terms of gaming and the most addictive sort of like tech elements out there, gaming is the number one sort of most addictive kind of format out there because of the way it's been structured. You know, there are there's a small group of white men sat over in Silicon Valley whose sole purpose is to create tech that has a very strong persuasive / addictive element to it. That's where they start from when they build these games, when they build social media platforms. When it comes to social, it's more about if you've got that retention of attention. That was weird. If you've got that, if people are constantly within the app, what does that mean? For the social media owners, it means they can increase their rates when it comes to advertising.
Yeah.
How do they make their money? Through advertising, not you posting.
Yeah.
So, but within the gaming world, it's the similar mechanics that keep them hooked. So, that, you know, there's an incident not too long ago of a young man over in China who ended up dying because he'd spent like, I think it's 20 hours straight playing, I can't remember the game, but playing a super, super addictive game. You know, they wear, you get some gamers that will wear like adult nappies because they don't want to go.
Oh my God. Yeah.
They don't want to go to the bathroom because they're going to lose time.
But that is so, I mean,
that is ridiculous. Yeah. That is ridiculous.
I kid you not. That's
terrible,
what they do. Yeah.
Isn't it? I mean, the world we that really upsets me because I think, my God, get outside. Like, what on earth are we doing letting our kids even get involved with that kind of stuff? If it has that kind of addictiveness about it, that is just dreadful.
Well, I suppose that's where it comes back to having that, A, knowledge of the world and the format in which these games or social has been constructed, which you don't often think about because you think, oh, it's super popular, oh, I'll just pop the app on my phone and all's good. But slowly it hooks you in. So it's A, knowing the awareness, you know, the knowledge behind that. But B, like you were saying, it's about having that dialogue and saying, right, and the boundaries. Go, no, that's it. We're going out.
Yeah.
Let's go for a walk. Let's play a board game, whatever it
is. Jeez, I feel bad sometimes when I shove Peppa Pig on my phone under Heath's nose. And I do that, like, if he's having a haircut. And then I find myself explaining to the girls in the salon, well, I'm going to have to do it, because if I don't, he won't sit still. And they're like, don't be daft. It's fine, but I feel bad for that.
Yeah, but that's a normal thing.
That
if you've got a little toddler that wants to jump off a seat and not have their hair cut,
a pair of scissors through his ears.
Exactly.
You know,
then you're
going to
distract
choices.
Them. I think, you know, having a phone or a tablet is brilliant for that sort of thing.
Yes,
when you've got toddlers. Do you know what I mean?
And aeroplanes, you know, and sort of car journeys. I mean, you've got to have it there. If haven't you? I mean, we do the whole I spy in the car, but you can only do that for so long.
I know.
You know, before you go, especially right, turn iPad on, Avos.
But that doesn't start with that letter.
Oh, no, right. Oh, okay. God, I know. Oh, sorry. Ava Lily goes, oh, sorry, Mummy, I thought you did. I think, no, you didn't.
See, you didn't.
Says it, you know.
Yeah.
But it is that, it's about having that balance, really. And like you're saying, the world that we are now existing in, growing up in, tech's good. Yeah, but it's about knowing where those boundaries are so that you are in control of it and not allowing it to control you.
I think, did you have a social media break for a bit? I haven't done one of them.
I've had one for a few days, actually. just because I just didn't feel like posting, and I'm not somebody who'll post it to prove it. So if I haven't got anything to say that's lovely or whatever, I won't do it.
I'm the same.
I had a couple of weeks off with my blog and everything once because I just...
It's quite nice to have a detox sometimes, isn't it?
Do it.
I complained, you know, like on Instagram when they... Everything was out of order when they the timeline was different.
Yeah,
because you kind of wanted to see. But I quite like it now. I've got used to that. Because sometimes I'll miss. I mean, I do miss loads because I'm not on social media all the time. But if you have a nose and think, oh, that was posted 3 days ago, it's quite nice to see. But I think I'm that sort of person where I love social media. Mm. I love nosing at everybody. But I'm not a believer of what people post that is all perfect and this, that and the other.
No, that side of it. No.
You know, I don't buy into it all. I just buy into what I sort of think is okay.
Which is,
I'm trying to have like a healthy, relationship with social media. Good. It doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
You know, I do like nosing on it. And I will get up a bit earlier to have a little nose through, you know, whatever online.
Yeah.
And some people might think that's a bit sad, but I just think during the day I'm so busy.
Oh,
so I think, well, if I set my alarm 20 minutes beforehand, I can have a quick nose, and that satisfies me for the morning.
I like that. That's done. That's your hit.
And then it's done, and it is. It's like having a hit. But I think when it first sort of came about, Instagram and Snapchat, I was obsessed.
Mm.
Constantly on your phone, looking. You don't want to miss anything.
It's the scrolling.
People
talk about that, don't they? And if it's a bad day and you're scrolling, and I've done this, and you're looking at everyone, and you're like, why does my house not look like that? That's perfect. Why do I not have a dress like that? Why am I not got abs like
that? It's a comparison trap.
And you come off it and you feel terrible. And then I think, okay, that's not a good way to use it.
No.
For me, I use it because I like to write, and I want to write about real things in my life that people can relate to. So I have to remember that I'm not in that world.
No.
So I mustn't get sucked up in it. So I have to put the phone away and think, don't be silly, Kelly. But it can really bring you down if you're having a rough day.
And I think that's where, when I'm talking to young women at, you know, of secondary school age, they can so very easily get caught up in that. Oh, I talked about it before, you know, that superficiality, you know, or that she's living her best life.
Yeah.
Oh, I hate doing that.
Or it's all the comments. So, like, always. My teenage daughter, you know, her friends, I follow some of her friends, and you'll see comments, and I just, it's all very gushy and all very, you know. And I think my daughter doesn't, she hates taking pictures of herself. You won't find any selfies or anything like that. She's not into it. But I think I've noticed a pattern in some people that I follow. They'll put a selfie up of themselves. And I'm talking about grown women here.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't get the likes that they think they deserve, teenagers or young kids get into that, don't they? If it hasn't got that many likes, I don't even look at the likes. I look at the comments if people have sort of commented, because I think it's nice to comment, but if they've taken time to comment on my post, I like to try and comment back if I've got time.
Well, the engagement's more important than likes anyway.
Exactly.
I've always read about that. If people engage with your post, you know, and they want to comment on it and they want to send you a message about it.
Yeah.
That's so much more important than how many likes you get.
But that's
important
for the algorithm. Isn't it? People are literally reposting a picture because they haven't got that many likes on it. And I try and tell my kids, you know, that is just not absolute nonsense.
Yeah. Often when that happens, tech is a symptom, or that issue is a symptom for something else deeper that's going on.
Yeah.
More often than not. So whether that's confidence levels, insecurity, whether they've got, I don't know, issues with relationships or friendship or whatever it might be. And that behaviour
comes through.
It's just manifesting itself through that.
Yeah.
So something else going on. It's not necessarily, you know, the smartphone or, you know, or the social media platform to blame entirely.
Something deeper.
It's something deeper is going on there, which is where you know, a conversation.
Because you're looking for assurance from perhaps some strangers, really, aren't you?
Yeah,
that's a dopamine hit that you get. So when you're on social and you're looking for those likes, every time you get a like, it's like a you get the dopamine neurohormone hit, and you go, oh, that feels good. Yeah. I'm like, oh yeah, totally, I love it. Give me some more. Yeah. And so when they're not, so great crazy basketball. So when that doesn't happen, that's when they go, right, oh, I've got to delete that because I want to get a bigger hit.
Yeah.
So because, and you get trapped in that cycle.
Yeah.
Layer on to that, the fact that they don't realise that's happening and they're not addressing another issue.
Well, a lot of teenagers, from following lots of different, you know, friends, kids and stuff like that, you'll see like 100 pictures on their page, and then you'll go on it the following week, or if they've posted a picture, and look, and they've deleted everything. Why do kids do that? I don't understand. That's quite a common thing, where you'll see tons of pictures and then it's like, oh, I'm deleting all them, or I don't know. Have you noticed that?
I haven't.
Oh,
maybe,
okay.
Maybe I should like scope out some more. But I can imagine it's just purely to do with that's again that superficiality, that image. It's not good enough, or I want my image to be
that
like this,
me.
Or to be that.
That really worries me.
Which is why,
because I always say to my kids, if you're going to put it out there, you know, it's having the confidence, you know, if you're going to put a picture out there of, you know, I suppose it's trying to teach them, isn't it? And I don't know if I'm going to explain it right. But if that's going to go out there and you're confident with that, then that's fine.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if you're growing and then you look back at pictures and go, oh my God, look at me there.
Yeah,
so
own
what?
It.
Do you know what I mean? And have that confidence to, you're growing as a person. And we are all are every day. We still, I look back at some of my pictures and think, blimmin' heck, you know, why did I post that? But I'll leave it there because that was me then. Do you know what I mean?
But that, I think that comes back to that confidence in oneself or yourself, thinking, do you know what, I'm growing, I'm evolving as a person, I'm happy with that journey that's going, so I'm going to own it.
Yeah.
And there's a, but again,
but
it goes back to the world they live in, they don't have that aspect.
Well, I think Love Island and things like this, I'm going to sound like a real old granny now, because I did watch it last year and I was addicted to it. I've chosen not to watch it this year. But I feel
why?
That...
Why did you choose not to watch
because,
it?
Well, we were away when it started. And then when I got back, I was reading so much backlash about it.
Yeah.
People saying, you know, they should have people on there that look more normal, that are all different shapes and sizes, you know, all this stuff. And then a friend of mine who's a dad said, oh my God, he said, every time I watch it, he said, I just feel horrendous about myself. And I said, don't be so silly. I said, you know, they have PTs and nutritionists before they go in.
Right.
They have all this help to look that way because they know that that's what it's about.
Absolutely.
And then they come out and have it all. And then there they are on their perfect, and I look on their Instagram pages, their perfect pages with all these amazing pictures being endorsed by these clothes companies, slimming shakes.
Mm.
And I think it's really, and not just Love Island people, there's others as well, but I just think that is an awful bubble to get sucked up into. And I think all that kind of stuff contributes to people going, oh my God, I've only got 10 likes or 50 likes, or it's going, it doesn't look like so and so's page, or it, you know, you can see I've got a pimple. I had it on holiday. Chris took a picture of me and the kids, and my thigh on the, I was sitting on the swimming pool edge, and my thigh looked enormous. And I said to him, I can't post that. And he said, yes, you can. He said, you absolutely can. He said, this is about you and the kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There are lots of people on there that are very real, though, that do post those pictures of them after pregnancy with the stretch marks, and that will post photos of them going, look at this, look at me.
Which I admire.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't do that. I would not pinpoint my bad points for everyone else to see, because I don't want to show everybody my insecurities.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
No. It's whatever you are comfortable with in your own brand personality, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, the brands that you were talking about, or business owners, for instance, who are very open about showing that, you know, the body, changing body shape, etc. Those are those communities that I want, you know, supportive business communities that I want young girls to know more about, that they exist.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that it's okay to follow them and to want to, and you know, support them and comment on those.
Well, I think if we saw more of it, people would feel more at ease, and there would be less of the
pressures,
and hopefully block out a bit more of that falseness.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
These people that go on and always look perfect, and they're in the public eye, and, you know, there's no realness to it. That isn't their life.
No.
And people come away, and I've done it as well, where you think, oh my gosh, I'm nothing like that. Well, neither are they.
But don't you think people that now are getting, we're all getting a little bit...
There's a backlash to it.
Yeah, there's a massive backlash to it. Because I will look at things now, even when people are trying to... They're exercising like mad, or you know, they were like this.
I go crazy.
But I'm talking about the girls that look perfect.
Oh God, no!
And I always think there's something behind that, because they're being paid, they're being endorsed by something or someone, and I just think, well, I'm not going to buy into it, because you know you're only look like that because you're being paid to do it.
Yes.
So I think it's all of that we need to teach our children as well. Yeah. Like we've been saying, everything. That people that do look perfect or portray this perfect life, or even ones that are showing, or look, I've had all this fat done, but I've just had lipo, so look at me now. Yeah. You know, I always think there's that, it's like a massive side to it. A lot of it is so fake that I think, we just need to teach them that it's not real. And if that someone is showing these real bits, it's because they're bloody being paid to. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's why I love finding people on Instagram or, other platforms where they are real, like when your blog that you do, and you're so honest and real, and then you go, yes, because I probably couldn't say all that, you know, but I love it when someone else does, and I admire it, and it's finding those people, like, you know, how honest you are, or other people that are great, I follow them, they're not like me, but I love their honesty, and I follow them for that very, very reason. And
I think there's just so many people that don't feel like they're heard as well with it, you know.
So. And that comes from endorsing others. So when you see somebody that you find on Instagram, well, go ahead and, you know, share it in your stories. Yeah. Give them a follow. Tell your friends.
Yeah.
It's so easy to do. And why is it that, I don't know, for instance, Love Island, somebody's wearing a certain outfit, and then, you know, you go ahead and share that within your feed. And it's like, well, it took you about 2 seconds to do that.
Yeah.
What about if you were to spend another 2 seconds and actually sharing something that goes beyond that superficial aspect and add value and comfort and just so much more depth to somebody else's life.
It's mad. I mean, when you talk about being real, I don't have a huge following. I build mine gradually on my Instagram page, and it's really hard. And sometimes it can get you down. And then I just come away from it and think, no. If I write something and I get comments and people going, that happened to me, or this is so honest, like what Sharice said, thanks so much. Mm. That means more to me than 10 follows. So I've come to a place where I'm okay with that. But I get messages from people like, not like you who are proper professional, but people who've been on a course and then charge to turn your page around. And I get loads of these, like, all the time, going, your page should have loads more followers. It's so great. Here's my price list. But you really need to think about buying fake followers first. Because once you get them on your page, people take you more seriously.
So I think people want to invest in your page for whatever reason.
You want real people.
They will look at that as kind of thing now, and they know that you've bought them followers. And like you say, your page will build and people will find you. Yeah. It's a lot of competition out there, but I'd say keep it real. Keep doing what you're doing.
Oh, yes. Thank you. I couldn't live with myself if I bought false ones. I'd feel really... I mean, is that a thing with young girls and young boys as well? Do you think they do it to make their pages look bigger?
Yes. I get it with business owners. So they'll ask me, you know, should I buy followers? The answer is definitely don't do that. A, what is it going to say about your own brand if you're trying to portray authenticity or something that's real? But then you've got fake followers.
Yeah.
And secondly, the algorithm, so the computer system that sits behind all of the social media channels, will instantly recognise whether or not you've bought fake followers, because more often than not, they're bots. So the bots, they'll spot those within the algorithm, and then they'll suppress your reach anyway, so you won't get out to as many people, which is probably why they don't have as many likes, etc. And it's just they're clamping down on that, because that's not what it's about.
No.
It's about engendering community, engendering engagement, which is what you mentioned
before. And
meeting
great people.
Absolutely.
You know, and you can do. There's some lovely women that I... talk to on there who are lovely, and I feel really lucky that they follow me and I follow them, and you know, we get to chat and like each other's blogs, and I think that's just, it's so nice if you post something and someone say, I get that, I've had that, or here's some advice on this.
I've met quite a few people from social media. I've got a friend actually that say, like, you just get regular people like on Twitter that would chat to you or comment. So I'd follow them back because they follow, and we've got, you know, they're just or they would make you laugh. And a friend of mine that I met on Twitter is actually coming over next week from Australia.
Oh,
so we're
going to
meet up and everything. I mean, I've met her in Australia, so it's not like totally weird. But some people find that quite weird. But I've made some really nice friendships over social media.
I think that's lovely.
Not
that's
met everybody,
aspect, isn't it?
But I have, you know, I'll keep in contact with them or... And I think that's, yeah, that's such a nice side to
it's
it.
The powerful
absolutely.
Side of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what it should be for, you know, drawing people together, connections that are made, you know, globally and stuff.
That's amazing,
you know,
isn't
it's it? An absolutely wonderful aspect. Think of all of the avenues and all those doors and opportunities that exist out there. And if you stop and kind of look beyond just that surface, there's a wonderful world that exists within social. Really is.
Well, thank you so much for talking to us all about it today,
Ruby. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
It's fascinating.
It is. I could sit and talk about it all day.
Talk for hours.
You can find Ruby at Wild and Form Digital on Instagram.
Yep.
And good luck with going into the schools
and
spreading the word
thank
as well.
You.
I think it's great what you're doing.
Brilliant.
You know, and it's a really positive message as well.
Thank
so thank you,
you
so much.
Thanks. It's been ace.